Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
And now a word from our sponsor. Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NBA is in full swing, and college basketball is here as teams are already in the second round of the madness. The tournament is here, and so is the $100,000 Bracket Madness Contest, as BetOnline is the spot to be for all your bracketology needs. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another version of Bill Rodenau Sports. Happy spring. Yesterday was the first day of spring. Very happy to hear that. At least, you know, it'll be nice weather out there. I guess that's good and bad news because people will equate the nice weather with just totally going bonkers and going out, you know, hanging out like they do in Miami.
Yeah, you saw that. I was going to send you that Miami clip.
Oh man, I believe they had to roll back the hours, shutting down like at 8 o'clock.
Thousands of people just in the streets together, no masks. It's crazy, man.
The guy said you couldn't see the sidewalk, you can't see the grass. So what did the guy think when they opened it up? What did you? I mean, people were flocking to Miami from colleges around the world.
And don't forget the airplane prices are, you know, the flight prices are so low now that everybody, you know, even people, responsible people are tempted, like, you know, what's going on?
I guess they figured, you know, what the hell, herd immunity, let them die.
Seriously. I mean, hasn't that been the Florida mantra ever since this thing started?
Yeah, Florida, Texas.
Right.
You know, all those Confederate states, you know. So, I don't know, man. So anyway, it's Bill Roden. I'm up here in, Manhattan, enjoying nice weather as we wind down about 5 o'clock. And here joined by my good friend and co-host, the great Jamal Murphy. Murph, what's going on?
You know, just watching these kids play for free, man. You know, as I always say, March Madness is back. The NCAA is going to get their $1 billion. Kids are, you know, voicing their opinions and putting stuff on social media. We'll get into that later, but you know, it's March Madness, and you know, there's good and bad to it.
Yeah. So you're now, you wrote a nice piece for the Undefeated about black coaches and about the number of black coaches. And it was pretty cool. You got a lot of the guys, and many of them are gone now.
Yes.
Yeah, but it was cool. What was that like doing that piece? That ran last week. I think it went up last Thursday, I think.
Yeah, I think it went up.
Or maybe Wednesday,
Tuesday or Wednesday. It went up last week prior to the start of the tournament. No, it was great. You know, I got a chance. You know, some of these coaches, I didn't even know had made the tournament before I started writing it. So it was cool. I got a chance to talk to most of them. So that was cool. And of course, like I said, this was pre-tournament. So everybody is excited and about what they might be able to accomplish come tournament time. But as we speak, you know, 9 of those 12 have lost. Of course, there was some black on black crime. Some black coaches took out some other black coaches. So, you know, but based on the draw, but there were 3 left, and those 3, you know, Leonard Hamilton, who should be a Hall of Famer, Juwan Howard with Michigan, and Oklahoma State's Mike Boynton. They're still alive. Oklahoma State actually plays tonight. We're recording this Sunday around 5 o'clock. Oklahoma State is scheduled to play tonight at around 10 o'clock Eastern.
Who do they play?
They play Oregon State out of the Pac-10, who upset Rick Barnes and Tennessee
I forgot Barnes is at Tennessee.
Yeah, Barnes is over Tennessee. Remember, he was at Texas, where Shaka Smart took over, and now people are mad at both of them.
Yeah, I know. Well, who's the guy who got some awful, the brother who got some terrible, at Ohio State? Did you see the story? Oh, yeah. Got terrible, forget his name. He was getting terrible.
Liddell, the big, one of the, you know, forwards for Ohio State. Yeah, he posted some of the messages he was getting on social media from so-called fans or Ohio State people. And, you know, I mean, you know, nothing, it wasn't all that surprising. I mean, you know, these idiots are out here giving, you know, giving kids death threats and, you know, mad because they're losing a game. And that's, again, when it comes to these amateurs, man, usually in the NBA, they get this too, but at least they're getting paid millions for it, you know?
Yeah. What do you think of the argument, which is somewhat compelling, about the idea of, you know, at least, you know, you get a scholarship to go to. I mean, you argue this one way. You are, and I'm not sure how their parents feel about this, but, you know, let's say you have three children you're putting through school, and one of them, you know, hits it big and gets a scholarship either to, you know, one of the big schools or an MEAC, anywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's just maybe one less check you've got to write, you know. I mean, practically, isn't that kind of worth it?
Oh, you mean just the scholarship alone?
Yeah. In other words, you know, you get a scholarship to play basketball or football at one of these schools, and let's say you're not necessarily a star, you're, you know, just kind of on the team, but you're getting books, you know, tuition paid. That's a good perk, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great perk. I think it's important, but I think the problem comes when you look at how, you know, what it's worth to everyone else around you, to the people above you, and all the money that's brought in from basketball and football. It will dwarf the actual cost of.
But if you're at A&T, I'm sorry, you know. Sound like a hawk now, like a black Republican. But if you're at A&T or NCCU or something like that, I mean, those schools aren't making hundreds of millions of dollars. Right, and you're being able to go to school basically, and you're on a scholarship.
No, and I think it's fair as far as that goes. And I don't think that, you know, players who play at the low major schools are ever going to get big time compensation, you know, for playing. I think it will be some sort of a tiered system if it ever happens, and it probably should be. But the only thing I'll say to that is, you know, there's the whole name, image, likeness situation, which is different because that's just giving a person their, you know, rights to their own likeness and that type of thing. So there could theoretically be a kid who goes to North Carolina A&T who's better, you know, maybe one of the best players they've ever had. And even if he doesn't, even if they don't win, you know, on some grand scale, he could still, you know, cash in based on him being famous in that community, you know, just being famous in Greensboro, North Carolina.
What kind of thing? Yeah. So tell me what kind of things a player could do. Let's just play this out. Like you're the star player at A&T, you're the star player at NCCU, star women's player, you know, with social media and stuff. What kind of stuff could you do that you can't do now?
I mean, you could do, you know, local commercials for the car dealership or, you know, whatever locally is going on in Greensboro where, you know, they could use your likeness, you know, to get people to come out. You could promote different events that are going on, even just for the students. You can't do that now. You know, there's a lot out there, and the name, image, and likeness stuff is huge, and even for those low level schools. And I've heard before, I've talked to some people who feel that that's really one of the issues that holds the NCAA back from completely supporting it is those lower major schools who depend on those same type of advertisements. So maybe now it's just the North Carolina's, you know, A&T basketball team that uses the car dealership to advertise or something like that. If you give the players the right, then maybe the car dealership would rather use the star player than the team as a whole.
And how do you feel about that? I mean, if I'm put yourself as an athletic director or as an adult, which you are, you know, and, you know, let's say you've had this, you're at NCCU or whatever, and you get a number of sponsors, like a local car dealership, or whatever. Now you find out that the quarterback is kind of struck up a deal with the thing. Now, I guess if that does not injure me, fine. But let's say this, you know, well, we're going to deal with him instead.
Right.
Now, I got a problem with that. Because I said, well, wait a minute, kid. I mean, you know, you're able to do this because you're at A&T. You got the equipment, the field, you know, the infrastructure. You know, you got people blocking for you. You know, you got halfbacks you're handing off to. It's not like you're the best tennis player at the school. And
hey, I thought we were in America. I thought this was what it was all about. I thought it was capitalism. I thought it was, you know, the best man wins. So it's the same, you know, you live by that in every other way. You got to let these kids, you know, that's the whole point. It can't be the schools. It can't be, you know, it can't be their choice. You know, you have to take away these rights from, you know, these, you know, the rights from the schools. You have to go through the legislature. I think that's one of the big issues now, where players are asking Congress to step in. And a lot of members of Congress are trying to step in. You got the Senator Murphy from Connecticut. He's spoken out about it, even on racial terms. He's spoken out about it, how, you know, it's ridiculous that, you know, these black dominated sports are the only places where, you know, they don't have any rights and they can't, you know, partake in any of the earnings that the big sports make. So, you know, I get why the NCAA, of course, say, I can say the same thing about the NCAA, right, Bill? I can say, well, you know, NCAA is making all this money now. Why would you want, you know, why would you allow kids to make any money and take away from the money you're making? That's right. Where we're at.
So, okay. So, and also, I mean, the other argument is that if I'm the quarterback at A&T or the guard, whatever, and there's a physical price that I'm paying. Now, granted, it's all voluntary. I don't have to go to A&T to play football. I don't have to play football at all. I mean, I'm volunteering for this. I'm volunteering to play basketball at A&T or NCCU or any school. I went to Morgan. And again, we're talking about like the dark ages and all that. And sure, there was heavy handed back. I couldn't even imagine what Coach Banks would say about, Coach, I got a commercial. You know, he might probably kick me off the team. So, okay, commercial that.
Right.
But so I get that. But I think so. We talk about two issues. One, the scholarship issue is one thing.
Right.
And is that enough? I mean, particularly if you're going to go get your history degree or you're going to get a degree. Now, you could kind of get there. Well, what kind of degree are you getting? What kind of are you having full access if you go to Duke and you're playing or Ohio State? And how much time do they expect me to spend at my sport? Can I go see lectures? Can I be like the average college student in exchange for this rules book tuition? How much are you making me go lift weights? Right. When my season is over, you know, do I still have to report to training camp? And do I still have to, you know? So I guess.
And we know the answers. We know the answers to all those questions, right? But you don't. You can't partake in everything. If you're at the high major level, it's almost impossible to get the education that an average student is getting. It's like you're working a 60 plus hour job at the same time. You know, I went to law school part time when I first started, and I'm working. You know, and I'm working 40 hours, and that was tough. So 60 hour week. Come on, man.
Yeah, I guess if you break it down. And way back in the day in the 80s, they tried to put time limitations, but I guess we'd have to break it down to these schools, you know, all the schools, I guess, probably. What is your expectation after the season is over of how much time are you expected? Now, I don't know, maybe the athletes at the top, they want to put all that time. They'd rather do that rather than go to class. Class is a burden. I mean, I always look forward to like the end of the season. I'm like, oh, you're cool. You know, now it wasn't like I would hit the book. Like
right. No, I agree.
I can go to the library. You know, no, I just,
Yeah, and that's normal for all college kids, right? Like, no, I don't remember being so enthusiastic about my schoolwork in college. I, you know, that
right, let me go to that physics class. Yeah. Oh, this is great. I don't have now. I don't have this.
But you have. But in order to do what you're saying as an athlete and do well, you have to be very enthusiastic. You have to be a go-getter in order to really get a true education at the same time as playing big time college athletics. And how many, what's percentage of people are those? It's just in general, 10% of people are like that.
Yeah. What do you mean? That are what?
That are so driven, that are like so completely driven academically that they could do both.
But that's in anything. I mean, how many kids, going to college are like that driven, particularly their parents paying for them and all that.
That's true.
So here it is, your parents are not paying for you. If you're one of these football players, basketball players, your baseball player is probably partial, I don't know. I mean, I think that there is an argument to be made about the value of a college diploma, but in terms of names, like in images, I think that's in bargaining, you really fight hard about, you lecture the kids about the value of the degree, but then we say, okay, all right, we'll give a little bit on the name and likeness.
But let's just talk about the name, image, likeness stuff. I mean, that is so basic in terms of like a human right almost. It's like,
well, no, but you can't. You want to use my uniform?
No, I don't even have to.
Commercial,
but you don't. But if you can take that away, I don't think you're going to be able to do that anyway. Like they're going to have restrictions. You can't use the school uniform, whatever. But I'm just saying, as the person, if I'm so recognizable, that I can, and I can be an asset to another company. I can make money on my own. In no other walk of life am I restricted. Even when I'm a college student, the only reason you do that is for the NCAA's own benefit. There's no benefit anywhere else but to the NCAA.
Yeah, so like Tariq Cohen. Yeah, Tariq Cohen could have made probably a lot of money.
Right.
And the kid at Cool Maker at Howard, I'm sure he could have made some money.
And the NCAA only does it for competitive advantages or to make sure there is no competitive disadvantage. It's all about the sport rather than the people. You know what I'm saying? So they don't want Kentucky to have an unfair recruiting advantage because, they got more car dealerships. You know what I'm saying? For instance.
And which would happen. Could you imagine giving Colin Perry? He would find some kind of way to be funding money. So a guy like Anthony Davis, he'll do a commercial for Chevrolet, the dealership, and get like $2.5 million. I mean, something way, way.
But it happens. But this shit happens already. Let's not act like these guys aren't, boosters aren't involved in giving people money. I mean, Indiana just fired their coach after 4 years, and the boosters come up with enough money to buy him out for the $10 million buyout. Okay, so there's so much money out here already. Let's not act like Anthony, I don't know what Anthony Davis got, but any big time player, we're already talking about them getting paid, on the side. So it's just, just give the kids their rights, man. I mean, it's not I just don't feel like, I mean,
in other words, treat them, I guess it just kind of gets back to treating them like, the regular student or something. I mean,
yeah, at least. And also, a scholarship is important. It's worth a lot, even money-wise. It's
right.
$40,000 a year at least. But
right,
when you look at, just pure, equity, and then you look at what is being made on their backs, it doesn't equal $40,000 a player. It equals a lot more than that.
Well, you're assuming of the programs that are really making that kind of money.
Right. So
I've long supported the notion of revenue sharing. I mean, if you're at one of these Power Five schools, it's regularly going to the final, to March Madness, regularly going to bowl games, then I think that there should be a scale where if you're on the football team, if you're on the basketball team, then you should get some of that. Now, my thing is put it in a trust fund. You know, I guess people could argue, I want it now. I said, well, put it in a trust fund. And after 4 years passes, then you have access to it, whether you graduate or not. Right. Now, some people say, well, why 4 years? I wanted, you know, I need it now. But I don't know. But so I'm willing to go that far. Then if you do that, and, you know, you probably have to tell the women's field hockey, whatever. No, everybody doesn't get this because you guys aren't bringing in any money.
Right. And we already pay for you to play those sports anyway. Women's field hockey is funded. The fact that they can even have women's field hockey is funded by college basketball and college football.
And football. Yeah. And I have issues, not issues with that, but then that does get back to the plantation of these predominantly black guys playing on these blood sports, creating revenue so that the swimmers could swim, the field hockey, softball, you help support that.
Right.
So if you do that, then there should be some benefit to you doing that, particularly you're playing, and I don't know if you're outside of the Power Five, because I guess every conference gets a piece of money.
Right.
If you're Division One, you get a piece of this money.
Right. Because every year, each conference is represented by at least one team in, for instance, in the NCAA tournament. Football is more, there's more money made in football. So I'm not exactly sure what all those conferences get each year football-wise. But basketball-wise, if you make the NCAA tournament, that's a certain amount of money. And then if you win a game, that's even more money that goes into the conference. I want to take a brief moment to talk about our newest sponsor, eBay. Whether rare, dead stock, or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, logo, stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity, and it also protects sellers with a verified return process. And for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers of $100 or more, making it free to sell or flip your collection. So go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection.
But meanwhile, the guy from Rutgers, I forget his name, but he was one of the people out front.
Yeah.
So Rutgers won. I forget his name.
Geo.
Yeah.
Baker.
Yeah, Geo Baker. Mm-hmm. So that's good that he's the Rutgers won. So what do you think? Getting into the talk about the tournament. What do you think about? First you got Leonard, Juwan, and Mike playing. And I thought about that. How unfair that. I mean, you got how many? 68 teams in the tournament. 69. 68 teams. Out of those 68, only 12 of those coaches were black.
Right.
And that's a lot of pressure. I mean, imagine if at least you had 30. Right. coaches were black. Now.
Well, that's what we're trying to get to, right?
Yeah, 30 coaches are black. So now it's not quite a thing. But here you get wiped out, man. You had 12. Now you're down to 3. And we're just in the second round.
That's right. And, like I said earlier, a couple of those black coaches beat up on each other. And I actually got, after the article, a couple people, responded on Twitter saying, oh, it's messed up. They put all the good black coaches in one region. Someone wrote me they ghettoized whatever the West region, and they put us all in there on purpose so we could beat each other. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about all that, but it's tough. I doubt the committee's actually thinking about that kind of thing. But the way it ended up, you got Juwan Howard in the same region as Leonard Hamilton. Both of those teams are Final Four capable. So we'll see what happens. And then you had I think Texas was in that same region.
If you're Texas, you got to get by.
That was
they got trounced by.
They got beat by Abilene Christian.
Abilene Christian. Yeah.
Yeah. you know, who was playing like their life depended on it, and Texas didn't.
And they did.
Yeah, and they did, and Texas didn't you know take it as seriously as they needed to, which is, you know, that's the recipe for an upset right there.
That's the problem, you know, out of Florida State and Leonard, Juwan, Michigan, Boynton, you know, which black coach you think has the best chance to reach at least the Final Four?
Yeah, I would say either, but you know, since they have to go through each other, I think either Michigan or Florida State, you know, has the best chance. Whoever can beat, if they meet up, you know, whoever can win between them. I think Leonard Hamilton's next game, which is tomorrow, that's a pretty tough one against Colorado. So
Colorado.
Maybe I give Juwan Howard a slight edge, but they're playing without their best player, Livers, who had a foot injury pre-tournament. He also is one of the people who is outspoken about the NCAA and them not being NCAA property, just to, you know, put that out there again. But so Juwan Howard probably has an easier second round game. So maybe, you know, I go Juwan Howard, and then even Mike Boynton plays tonight. I mean, he does have probably the best player in the tournament. He's the guy who's projected to be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft this year, Cade Cunningham. So you have a player like that, and he has a pretty good surrounding cast. You can't sleep on them. You know, a Final Four is possible, and they are in Illinois region, who just lost, so the one seed is gone out of that region. So you got to give Oklahoma State a shot too. So I think all three of these coaches have a shot to really, you know, do big things and make a Final Four. Obviously, the most we could have is two, because either Leonard Hamilton or Juwan will knock each other out.
Right. Good. Is there a possibility they could play face in the Final Four? The two black coaches could play each other in the Final Four?
They would play, if they met up, it would have to be in the final. So it would have to be a Michigan-Oklahoma State final.
Which would be great.
Yeah.
That
would have to be a first.
Black coaches meet in the final. I don't think.
Yeah, there's no way that's happened.
That's ever happened. You know, Georgetown had a nice, well, had a good run term, but they got destroyed by Colorado. A good Colorado team, by the way.
Yeah, good Colorado team. And Georgetown, you're right, Georgetown got destroyed. And I think, you know, really, you can look at it like Patrick Ewing overachieved. They weren't supposed to be in the NCAA tournament at all. They make that run, they get there. But then, you know, you give a good team who has like four-star recruits on it, very good coach, Tad Boyle, you give them a week to try to come up with a plan against Georgetown, and they just don't have that same talent. They don't have that same talent level right now. So they don't have like great offensive players. So you can expose them. You can limit them. And that's what happened. When you get to that stage, you know, you have a team prepared for you, taking away whatever your strengths are, and they just didn't have the talent to adjust.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a good start. I mean, how long has Patrick been at Georgetown?
This was his third year, I think. Third or
fourth. Okay, so it's not bad. You know, I mean, but you know, but again, you gotta recruit.
Yeah.
You gotta get horses.
And they have the best recruiting class in the Big East coming next year. They ended up getting a five-star guy, top 20 high school player, guard.
So. Maybe they get McCool Maker from Howard. Maybe he'll transfer.
If he doesn't go to the pros, yeah. If he doesn't go into the draft, maybe he should.
What if he stops? If he decides to transfer to Georgetown.
Hey, man. Hey.
What can you say?
It looks like Pat is turning that around. I think the good thing is he's built a culture there, so they play hard defense. They play very hard, so you kind of have, you know, some structure there, and now you just need to bring in the talent.
Yeah. Let's see, in the time we've got left, well, you know, you were all on top of this disparities between the men and women.
Did you see that? Did you see the social media postings of the women's weight room compared to the men's weight room?
And also even the swag bag.
Yeah, yeah, all of that. And then, you know, and I watched Dawn Staley had a lot to say about that. You know, she's, you know, wasn't surprised. You know, we have a long way to go, but this is just another example of the NCAA just not, you know, trying to say the right things, but coming nowhere close to doing them. When I saw that stuff, you know, they showed the weight room disparity, the quote unquote weight room for the women was like five pound dumbbells or something. And then for the men, it was like they had, you know, they had equipment, they had actual equipment in the room. Turns out it only took a couple of days. You know, once they put it out there, now the women do have a real weight room. So it happens that quickly if you speak out. So I guess that's a good thing. But I, you know, when I first saw it, I was like, what is the NCAA doing? Like, are you serious? Who's running this?
Right. Well, that's the whole thing. And I'm sure there have to be women at the NCAA. I mean, you know, maybe they don't want to speak out, or maybe, you know, they I don't know, you know, but I guess it's like if something happens, if you have a black person on the board or something, you got to speak up.
Right.
Because you know it's racist.
Right.
And you know it's sexist.
Right.
So, you know, but I'm glad it was somewhat rectified.
Right. Dawn Staley pointed out that, you know, it's obvious, you know, it's just the fact she said that when they announced that the NCAA tournament was going to happen, you know, even though there's a pandemic, then when they announced it was going to happen, they announced the men's a month before the women's. Like, she was like, why wouldn't they roll it all out together? I thought we're in this together. So, you know, it's an obvious systemic issue.
Yeah. Who do you like? And I know you're going to be writing some stuff about the, you're going to be covering the women's tournament for the undefeated as well. Do you have any early leads on, you know, on favorites?
Well, you know, I got to go.
We're pulling for Dawn Staley.
Yeah, we got to go with Dawn Staley in South Carolina. She won the SEC championship. So they're playing well. They're a 2 seed. Got to like her chances. I was watching Baylor play Jackson State earlier today. Baylor looks really good. They're a 2 seed. They have a, you know, Hall of Fame coach. So, you know, I would lean towards those two. You know, you can't count out Tennessee ever. They look good still. So, you know, the women's NCAA tournament will be fun also.
Yeah. And I guess, kind of COVID strikes.
Right.
You know, and our occasional co-host, Steve Wilson, who went to VCU, kind of chimed in, why did it have to be VCU? So I guess that's, you know, I guess you're not surprised that, you know, that they had COVID. I mean, you know, I don't know what happened, who happened. I guess what? Does that mean people are out there, out in public? They're just kind of not taking precautions?
Well, you know, of course, VCU said, you know, it's nothing that we did. We followed all the protocols. Remember, this is the first time this has ever happened where the NCAA had to cancel a game. You know, we don't know. VCU could have went to the Final Four. They've done it before. So it does taint the tournament a little bit. Also shows you that this stuff, you know, are they going to be the only team? You know, we'll see. There are more games to play. The backstory on that VCU situation was reported as VCU played somewhere in Virginia for the Atlantic 10 championship. They stayed in a hotel that was like very lax, and they had plenty of people at that hotel who weren't wearing masks and all that kind of stuff. You remember when did you hear about the referees got sent home the first day of the NCAA tournaments? Like a group of 6 referees, you know, were sent home from the NCAA tournament the first day because one of them tested positive. One of the refs who tested positive was also a ref at that A-10 championship game, staying in that same hotel.
Oh, wow.
With VCU and St. Bonaventure, who they played. But St. Bonaventure played in the tournament and lost to LSU in the first round. So now it's like the positive results, sometimes they take 7 to 14 days to show up. So it's just, you just never know, man. So it kind of calls into question whether was anybody from St. Bonaventure infected. Oh, if they were and it shows up later, now LSU, and now LSU goes on to play another team.
Exactly. And I guess the nightmare would be you get all the way to like the Final Four and one of the Final Four teams can't play. And then I guess you take the team that they beat or something, the next best team to take their place.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about big asterisks, you know.
Or do you delay it? Or do you say, all right, we're going to have the Final Four in 2 weeks?
Right. You stay just kind of, but then what's going to happen in 2 weeks?
Yeah, there's no guarantee.
You guys go on spring break to Florida, to Miami. Oh, my God. Exactly. Oh, my God. But, you know, they got to recoup that money. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to reconvene. We'll have to reconvene next week to kind of see out of the three. Well, you know, I already know out of the three black coaches, at best you can do is two.
Right. Well, we could get three into the Sweet 16.
That's right. Well, yeah. That would be good, I guess.
That's the best we could do right now. But the whole point of all of this was we need more black coaches. 12 out of 68 is not enough. A lot of black coaches, the ones that do get the opportunity have done, very well. Boston College just hired a black coach.
You said who else? Boston College. You said the Penn. Was it Penn State?
I'm not sure about Penn State.
There are two others. You said that hired black coaches quickly.
Yeah, definitely Boston College.
Yeah,
I know Gates from Cleveland State. He's getting interest from some other big schools. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Then we could also, it's a little too early to talk about NBA, but.
Yeah, we got a long way to go. Bill, you got plenty of time to hate on the Brooklyn Nets.
Don't worry. Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. Is Kyrie stay healthy?
That's true.
And, Durant has been hurt.
Yeah, he has.
That's a little worrisome.
I think we're all assuming that because they're playing well, they're being very cautious. So they're just, they make sure he's 100% before he comes back. Hopefully that's the reason.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I hope so too. All right, Murph. Well, listen, man, I'm good. This is like sort of an abbreviated March Madness version of Bill Roden on Sports. We're glad we got it in. Pulling for Leonard.
Yep.
Pulling tonight for Boynton. Hope that turns out well.
Yep.
And we'll see. Everybody out there, enjoy spring. Continue to be careful. I know it's hard. I know, it seems like everything's back to normal. I don't think it is. So be safe, everybody. Have a great weekend. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.